The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Helping make it all possible is a generous partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's a piece yours truly hosted that I trust you will enjoy. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined now by Pete Peterson. He is the dean of the Pepperdine School of Public Policy, a feature here on the Hugh Hewitt Show. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Pete4CA. Pete, good morning. I want to begin with the big story. It's the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Pacific Gas and Electric files for bankruptcy following the California wildfire, seeking Section 11 protection. What do you make of that?
Well, Hugh, as you know, the fire season, especially this last one, which actually affected Pepperdine deeply with the Woolsey fire, but the Camp Fire and the Northern California fires, which are more engaged in this particular filing for bankruptcy, shows that these utilities may have a stake in the cause of these terrible wildfires that have hit California. Obviously, they're seeking to get out from under the lawsuits that have already been lodged against the utility itself. But obviously, power has to be delivered. So I don't exactly know how we're going to find our way through this. But suffice it to say, it is reflective of a terrible wildfire season.
The 2017 Tubbs Fire burned 37,000 acres and killed 22 people. Many believe it was caused by a downed power line. But unless they limit liability, there won't be power producers. That's what the nuclear power industry needed back in the day when they were begun. They needed a guarantee against liability for leaks. Otherwise, no one would try one. Do you think that California's legislature is going to find any way to protect their power delivery systems, or is California going to go through that blackout phase again?
Well, I certainly hope so, Hugh. As you and I both know, trial attorneys have been big supporters of the Democratic Party here in the state, along with a lot of other people, frankly. At the same time, you're right. I mean, we do need power delivered, and if these utilities are not protected against these lawsuits, we do look at another season, if not an era of brownouts and blackouts. So we need to find a way through to protect the utilities so they can offer this essential service. They are quasi-governmental entities and treated differently than many private sector companies, and in that, we do need to find a way to provide them legal protection.
Now, one of the very interesting aspects of this, Pete Peterson, I'm talking with the dean of the Pepperdine School of Public Policy, which is a sponsor of this program, by the way, but Pete's a good friend, and we're going to get together in a couple of weeks anyway to talk through this stuff. The journal reports that the restructuring process could provide an opening for PG&E to amend or cancel some $34.5 billion in longstanding contracts to purchase wind and solar power, many of which were negotiated when market prices were higher. They were negotiated when natural gas hadn't begun to change the dynamic of energy pricing and brand new oil discovery. Energy has become cheap, 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 and that's not solar energy. That's not wind power. That's very expensive energy. That could be a silver lining to a Chapter 11.
Well, it certainly could, Hugh, and as you know, the California legislature has been very involved, as well as the PUC, utilities regulatory group, in regulating and forcing greater use of alternative energy sources. That has driven up the cost of energy to all Californians. It's one of the many things that makes living here in California so expensive. And so the insertion of that part in this possible agreement really does show to all Californians that these moves towards many of these alternative energy sources makes life more expensive and could be a way to force the legislature to act to provide these necessary legal protections.
Now, Pete Peterson, I want to change to a story about San Diego. San Diego Council of Government, a regional group, has started an ad campaign, Just Say No to Winter, which has received quite a lot of attention nationally because it is beautiful. You know, San Diego is America's finest city, et cetera. And they're trying to get millennials to move to California. They're trying to get the people that you've got at the Graduate School of Public Policy at Pepperdine to stay in California, move down to San Diego. And it's a beautiful ad. I've tweeted it out. People can look at it. But the question is really, Pete Peterson, can an ad, it doesn't mention taxes. It doesn't mention unfunded pension liabilities. It doesn't mention it's a one-party state. Do you think an ad can trick people into understanding that or misunderstanding California's woes?
Well, I think it at least will provide some initial interest maybe in the state. You know, the Rose Bowl Parade every year obviously was begun as an effort to attract Americans to California. But then the next step needs to be connecting on Redfin or Zillow or one of the real estate sites and just looking at how much real estate costs, whether it's in San Diego or where I live here in Los Angeles County. As we're just talking about you, the cost, especially for millennials, especially those in the lower and middle income rungs of the economic ladder here in California is just so exorbitant, and it's coming from so many different places. You mentioned taxes. We just talked about energy. Real estate, I think, is really one of the key drivers of people thinking about moving out of state. So it may provide some initial attraction, especially this time of year and seeing the polar vortex back east. And in the Midwest, but at the same time, the next step is looking at the prices and costs of living here in California. And unfortunately, this is just an incredibly expensive place to live.
And that brings me to whether or not the millennials they show riding a subway in Boston and looking at the cold aren't. They're not the smart millennials. The smart millennials are in Columbus. The smart millennials are in Minneapolis, St. Paul. The smart millennials are in Ann Arbor, where they can get a house and build a life and shovel snow some, but they do not have the government threatening them with single payer. And it looks like Gavin Newsom's serious about this.
Well, it certainly was one of the drivers of the gubernatorial campaign. This was the wedge issue on the left. Is we look back on really what split Gavin Newsom from who looked like it was going to be his main Democratic challenger, former L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. Villaraigosa was taking what I think was the more sane approach to saying and understanding that we all know how expensive and too expensive single-payer is. But for the Nurses Union and other support, Newsom certainly went along with supporting single-payer. More importantly, though, it's coming out of the legislature, which actually passed a single-payer bill over a year ago. So this is really where the Democratic Party is going. And as usual, California is providing a canary in a coal mine to the rest of America on this.
Now, I also have seen Senator Kamala Harris begin her presidential campaign. Have you been watching, by the way, how skilled she is at this?
Very good, Hugh. I mean, she really does. That event that she hosted to announce the campaign in Oakland was terrific media.
Yeah, and so we've watched her for years, people in California. How would you describe her to non-Californians as a political talent if they haven't experienced her yet?
Well, Hugh, I think back to her first run for statewide office, which was the attorney general's race in 2010. It's hard to believe it now, but she won by less than 2% of the statewide vote to Steve Cooley, who was the L.A. County attorney, the district attorney. Since then, she has really demonstrated some great political skills. She obviously comes across very congenial and supportive, at the same time strong, and running on this platform of defending the people, coming from this background as a state attorney general, I think is a demonstration of her skill in being both connecting at the same time being strong. So she is a formidable political figure.
formidable political figure, and I also think someone who gets better as the race goes on. I've been watching her a long time. I think she has a skill set which is unique, and I'll tell you a story. I was in New York Central Park with Van Jones doing an event, I guess it would be 18 months ago, the summer of 18 months ago, after President Trump had been elected. And it was Central Park, so it was a very diverse audience, age and ethnicity, but it was pretty far to the left, and I was the punching bag for Van, but that's fine. I don't mind that. And at the end, the moderator says to me, so is there anything you want to say that you haven't said? I said, yeah, I just want to say that your party has an incandescent political talent in Kamala Harris, and there was a spontaneous standing ovation. Now, they wouldn't know Kamala if they walked into her on a subway, right? But right. They liked the idea of her. What is that idea, Pete Peterson?
Well, again, I think it's the ability to connect both in a very personal way, but also have a sense of strength. You know, it's not often that either men or women possess that ability, especially as a political figure, to connect on a personal level, but also to be seen as someone who is strong. And I think that combination is really striking, and it goes to that point that you made, that description of incandescent, I think, is good. Now, on the policy side, you know, has problems with math, right? She's not very good in being able to add these things together. At the same time, though, as a political figure, again, she's very strong.
Then what do you think about, there she is on one side, then you've got down in L.A., a mayor who you have to deal with all the time, and you've got up in Sacramento, a governor you have to deal with all the time. They are not without ambitions either. Do you see Garcetti getting in? Do you think Gavin Newsom's going to sit this out?
Well, the story that we just saw break about a week ago, that Newsom was running Facebook ads in Iowa and a couple of the other battleground early primary states, was very surprising. I know some people that have been taken up into his campaign and frankly, a couple smart folks. So that would surprise me. I do expect a Garcetti run. I don't know that for sure, but I would be surprised if he does not get in. You know, it's about finding your lane, and I believe he believes that he can be seen as that, at least in perception, a moderate Democratic city leader.
Now, you're an Angeleno. I knew his dad pretty well. He used to show up on Life and Times with me when I did the PBS NewsHour with Pat Morrison and Kermit Maddox for years. And his dad was a true centrist. Mayor Garcetti, I'm not sure what he is. He got the Olympics. That's a good thing. But what else has he done in L.A., Pete Peterson?
Well, the city continues to struggle fiscally, even in a boom time. I'm sure many of your listeners know about the recent LAUSD strike. I mean, that was just a window into some of the deeper fiscal problems. That's obviously on the school district side, but there were some parts of that that took in some of these pension issues that I know you talk quite a bit about and are so important. So there's some deep fiscal issues there that are problems. Crime is down. Just announced yesterday that we're seeing some of the lowest crime rates in California. But as with so many things, it's not just the record. It's the personality and the broader political perception. And I think, as you describe his dad, who I just saw at an event a couple of weeks ago, I think Garcetti is trying to cut that same jib. But I think it's going to be very hard to do that and make it through a primary in which the base has moved so far left in the Democratic Party.
Now I'm curious as well about the alleged $20 billion surplus that California has. And it's alleged because we have $450 billion in unfunded pension liabilities in my old state. That's money that is committed to be paid, that there is no Chapter 11 for a state government to shed contracts like PG&E is going to shed contracts. Is it really right to call it a surplus?
It's absolutely not, you. I mean, and again, just to look back at this recent LAUSD strike, where when you get underneath the headlines about pay raises and several other elements within that agreement, really what you see driving all of this has been an increase in pension payments to CalSTRS, which is the statewide pension system for teachers in the state. And in that, you see that really what is driving up the cost of government is not the hiring of new employees, but the paying of retired ones. And, you know, this whole idea of crowding out, that we're putting money into pensions that is not going into filling potholes and paying cops and paying new firefighters and teachers, is really a significant part of the underlying fiscal challenges facing the state.
You know, this is why the Say No to Winter campaign by San Diego is actually false advertising. you can't escape the looming fiscal collapse of California, especially if you're a millennial. Even if you're middle-aged, you've got to be 70 or 75 or 80 to escape what's going to happen here. Am I right, Pete Peterson?
Unfortunately, I think you are, Hugh, that these, again, very fundamental fiscal issues, it's just, I've said many, many times that California is a math problem. And unless we address these underlying fiscal issues, we're really just putting the burdens on future taxpayers. And unfortunately, even current ones are being affected by this crowding out that's happening in local and state government.
Now, I want to cover two more things with you, Pete Peterson. I think they're important for the national audience to know. Part of the Los Angeles Unified School District strike was about killing charter schools in the cradle. I kept listening closely to the rhetoric coming from the teachers' union, and they always talked about class size, and I thought, that's rhetoric. And then they talked about it's not really about money, but they said, and we have these unsupervised charter schools. They are threatened by charter schools, and they're trying to kill them in the cradle. What should be the response of serious people?
Well, this is a dividing line. And Hugh, frankly, to take a broader political look at this, this is something that actually Republicans and working with like-minded Democrats, there, as you know, there's a significant Democratic part of the Democratic Party here in California and here in even Los Angeles County that supports education reform. Obviously, implicit in that is charters, and that certainly was a part of this LAUSD strike. And the move by the union was not just about pay; it was about suppressing the growth of charter schools and education reform more broadly. And so, I think in that, people of this really is a bipartisan, multipartisan issue that I think there are some great opportunities to build and support a coalition for education reform here in Southern California, much less California more broadly.
Now, but do you think anyone missed it? Did they not get it? It was not, in my opinion, covered by the media at all that this was one of their bargaining demands, that they really are threatened. That's not normally a bargaining demand of a teachers union, to kill off charter schools. So the LAUSD teachers must be profoundly insecure in the face of choice.
I think that's right, and we've seen this, especially in Los Angeles. The last LAUSD elections to school board were really on the crux of this issue. You know, this was the dividing line between candidates, whether they supported education reform or didn't, whether they supported charters or didn't. The charter proponents, with a lot of support from Democrats, made it through in this last election, but there needs to be continued pressure to support education reform. But you're right. The media did not cover enough this part. It was much more about pay and school size. There needs to be better and deeper coverage about the implications for education reform in this last agreement.
Last subject in a long conversation. I appreciate your time, Pete Peterson. It's good to go deep occasionally. This concerns the California Fire, the insurance commissioner, coming out and saying that we, quote, need to have a conversation about where we're building, close quote, because of fire damages. And this is, I've been hearing this for 30 years, that the problem is we're building out into the forest. In fact, the problem is we're not clearing the forest, and we have climate change, and we do have new fires. But now he's telling us that the fire insurance market is collapsing in California. That is an incredible risk to this state.
It is, Hugh, and to the point about forestry management, I would love to see where the insurance risk levels would be if we actually treated our forests in a way that understood these really often cyclical fire seasons. You know, where I am on campus in Malibu, there's a black ring around campus, and that black ring from the Woolsey fire was right around the 200-foot brush cut that the university maintains in order to protect the campus, and it really did save it. And so with that, with building materials that are fire retardant, with doing things from a forestry management perspective that are sane, let's get those measures done first before we look at where the insurance markets are, because there are a lot of things we could and should be doing year after year in forestry management to protect Californians and to make it possible for Californians to live in a lot of different places.
And a last question. The insurance commissioner said, we need to have a conversation. To me, that translates as, I have no idea what to do. Do you agree with me that we need to have a conversation equals I have no idea what to do?
Well, I think it's a mixture. I've heard that phrase used also when somebody says we need to have a conversation, that somebody knows exactly what to do. So either we know exactly what to do or we don't have a clue what to do. Suffice it to say, it's not about hosting a real conversation. I agree with you there.
Pete Peterson, Dean of the Pepperdine School of Public Policy. Always a great pleasure. Come back again soon. Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Our program is coming today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.